I had like only three jobs I really wanted. I wanted to be in the military, I wanted to be a cop, and I wanted to be a fireman.
People, they may never remember what you say to them, or even what you did, but they'll always remember how you made them feel and how they experienced you.
Yeah.
What's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of Call to Serve Podcast. I am your host, Reggie Hubbard. If you haven't done it yet, do us a favor. Go follow, comment, subscribe, all that jazz. Share with your friends. The message that we're really trying to get across is a powerful one. So today, man, we have a very, very unique guest. I call him a triple threat because you know, he's been in the military, he's been on the firefighter medic side and the law enforcement side. So his trajectory has been very unique, to say the least. He's also a fitness enthusiast, right? And just a overall just great guy. I've known this guy for over a decade. I don't want to steal his thunder, so I just want to welcome the infamous Mr. Duke Watson. Welcome, bro.
I appreciate you having me, buddy. Yeah, I was definitely thinking about that the last like couple of days after you asked me. I was like, how long have I known Reggie? And I was like, yeah, it's like 2013, somewhere around there. I was like, we've definitely known each other for a minute now.
A minute, man. And over the years, we've ran into each other, have connected on just different fronts, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's cool, like how it kind of circles around.
Oh yeah,
it keeps coming back, man.
There's maybe I can count on like one hand the number of people that like I've kind of like seen throughout my life, kind of like whether you want to say like intermittently or consistently, but like that I just keep running into. And
yeah.
Like whether it be like because you and I, we jived really well when you were at the unit. But then also like when we kind of saw each other at like just down the road, like civilian side, and then now too, like, you know, kind of like working together a little bit.
Yeah, man, that's cool, man. So tell us about yourself.
So I was born in Kentucky. I don't go by my real name. I go by Duke. I'm named after my dad, but my dad had like this crazy list of names that he had for me, but we just kind of like just settled on that one. So I've just, if you call me Mark, we're probably not. Yeah, like how what we say a second ago, it's like if you call me Mark, we're probably not friends. born in Kentucky. I come from a big military and military police firefighting family. My mom's a firefighter. My grandpa was one as well. My dad was, he was in law enforcement. And he was in the military too. I got a bunch of cousins both men and women that are either in law enforcement, that are in the military. So it's pretty, it runs pretty thick in my family.
Wow. I mean, dang. So did you kind of always feel like you were going to take that path as well?
So I'll be honest, I never really considered anything else. Like when I was younger, I kind of, you know, when like you're a kid and you like see like some like cool movie or something like that, and that kind of like sparks like a phase of wanting to do something else from like, oh, hey, like, maybe I'll be like a photographer. Maybe I'll be like an archaeologist or something like that. But never anything super seriously. It was always just like, hey, I had like only three jobs I ever really wanted. I wanted to be in the military, I wanted to be a cop, and I wanted to be a fireman. So,
man. And you like did all of them.
Yeah. So I enlisted out of high school. Initially I was supposed to, the plan was for me to kind of like following my dad's footsteps of doing some of the military stuff, where it was like, hey, I'm going to enlist. Doesn't really matter what my MOS is to begin with, because I was going to go to North Georgia and become an officer. And then like I'll go active duty and then, you know, take off from there, like, you know, carpe diem. But I was a terrible student in high school. Like you could not. I wanted to play sports. I wanted to hang out with my buddies and I wanted to like go to the gym. There was nothing about me that wanted to study. Like my parents would like sit and be like, hey, like just study. But I would stare at an open book. Like there was nothing that you could do to get me to do it. So needless to say, I didn't get into North Georgia. So then I was like, well, I've already enlisted, so I'll just go do that. And then, you know, it was the reserve. So you come back home, or the National Guard. So then you come back home, and then I'm like, while you're at boot camp, they're like, hey, you need to have a plan. So I was like, well, I've got in with the fire department. So, cause my mom was working there at the time. My dad had retired from law enforcement. So, like one of the calls home, I was like, hey mom, after this is done, you think you can hook me up with a job? And so, you know, I went to EMT school. I ended up getting on with the fire department, not the one she worked for, but I ended up getting on just like with an agency and stuff like that. And then took off from there,
man.
Yeah.
I think it's so cool, man. Like that you have a family of public servants, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been really interesting at times. Cause like, I can definitely remember cause you think growing up, like everybody kind of has like the vision of like, oh, like my dad's Superman. Like, oh, my mom's like, you know, superhero too, like super mom, super dad. But then kind of like seeing the lessons that have been like imparted from that have been so, insane how applicable they are, not to just life, but how they are like to just like the job that I do now too.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Dude, so how do you feel that because your family, like a lot of your family were in those roles, how do you feel that shaped you as a person?
It kind of was, my family was big on like, hey, like whenever they were there, like, cause obviously there's a lot of sacrifice like entailed in that kind of work. And I remember, cause initially we were in Kentucky and mom was staying at home, dad was working. And then we moved down here, and when we moved down to Georgia, dad was kind of wrapping up some of his stuff in Kentucky. So mom was working, but you know, the fire department, that's 24-hour shifts. So she's working 24-hour shifts. So like we're staying with like our aunts and uncles and stuff like that. So throughout, but like, there were times that, yeah, like they're gone, they're doing their thing, but they taught me to be very just present with the people that I'm with. Like if I'm with you, man, like you got me.
Yeah.
If I'm in whatever I'm doing, that kind of has like my full attention, to sometimes my detriment, because, you know, now that if I'm at home and if I'm looking at my phone, like I'm looking at my phone. So my wife is like, she's like, hey, like kind of like snaps me back to reality a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. So it kind of does become one of those where it's like, hey, like I do focus completely on like whoever I'm with at the time. And I think that that's yielded a lot of like dividends. And even in terms of, because even like just public safety sees some more difficult things, it did kind of be like, hey, like it kind of forced some harder conversations of like, hey, these are realities of life. These are things that you're going to have to deal with. How are you going to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that's I resonate with that, because similar to you, I can be the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm big on making people feel valued.
Mm-hmm.
And I want people to feel like when we're having a conversation, an intentional conversation, that at that point in time, you're the most important person in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because really, in my mind, you are.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it's like, why would I talk to you if I'm not like obviously valuing this moment right now?
Yeah.
You know, like, and not saying like just this one, but like kind of just in general, it's like, hey, if you're talking to people, it's like you're giving your time, which is your most valuable resource. So kind of like be in it with them.
Yeah. 100%, man. I resonate with that for sure.
Yeah.
So you're a triple threat, man.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, I don't know. You're probably the only person I've ever met in my life that has been in the military, mm-hmm. has been on the fire side, medic side, and, you know, law enforcement.
Yeah.
You're like literally the only person that I can think of. You're like a unicorn.
really, it's just a very scattered brain. It's less impressive. It's more just easily distracted.
No, man. You know,
it's been really cool. Like I said, those are the only jobs I ever really wanted to do. When I initially got into it, you know, I wanted to enlist out of high school. So I did that. And then since that was the reserve, it was like, hey, you do need the civilian career, like I just said. But like, as I was going through it, like I loved firefighting, and it was so fun, cause it's so cool to like kind of be in that group and like have that team. And then, I stayed with that for about 6 years, and I did some like really cool schools while I was in there. Like there's like this program that's, the rope tech stuff, all the hazmat stuff, you know, smoke diver, a couple different things where it's like, you know, you get to go kind of like, you get to either train to play hero and then actually like put it into practice.
Yeah.
And then after a while with that, my wife and I had a conversation. She was like, hey, like, I love what you do, but you're just, we kind of had a conversation about like, hey, like, you're gone overnight a lot, and there's only so much growth that you can do in terms of the fire department. And I was like, yeah, that's true. Because with the agency I was with at the time, it's like, hey, you can promote, you can become like a driver, which is like their equivalent of a sergeant. You can like go driver, lieutenant, captain, go up that way. You can go to training, or you can go to like investigations, which is like arson investigation, which, with that agency, it just, there wasn't really spots for at the time. So knowing like how much opportunity was kind of there, I was like, hey, like, yeah, and with the time investment that this is, I was like, hey, I was a cop in the Army. I was like, I'd be a cop on the civilian side. And so I switched over with the premise of trying to be home more, which in retrospect isn't exactly the case. like, hey, like, I'll be home every night now when I do policing. But they, of course, put me on night shift right away, because how else are you going to get good at policing?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. But then they put me on, so kind of like did a season on nights and everything. And then working, having like a little bit of a better schedule now though. And I have found that the lessons from firefighting and EMS, because I maintain my EMT certification. And for a while, I'll be honest, I was doing more EMT EMS work as a cop than I was as a firefighter, just because, like, you know, hey, we're in cars all day, we're like riding around, and you end up just being the first on scene. So there was, there's been so many times that I'm really thankful for each step of experience.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of cool, because sometimes I get to see that in mm-hmm. action. I mean, we were on a scene not too long ago together. Mm-hmm. We can't talk about details, but I heard the, like, how you were talking with the EMTs were there, and mm-hmm. I was like, and the questions you were asking, I was like, oh yeah, that's Duke right there. That's Duke right there. Duke's still got the knowledge.
I still speak enough of the language.
Yeah, but I'm just like, man, that's really cool, because, you know, I was like, oh, you know what? Now I can keep that in mind.
Yeah.
For when I go on a call, if something's happening, you know, so people are listening, people are learning different things.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I would definitely say that outside of the tactics that you learn in policing, like the, you know, like the whole, like the room clearing, the situational awareness, all of that stuff, the next most important thing that honestly cops really lack a lot of the time is medical training. Because yep. when people go to like that first responder class, they're so just like overwhelmed by the fact that it was like, oh my gosh, why are we saying the word hypertension? It's like, it's high blood pressure, buddy.
Yeah,
like,
bro.
That's all that word
means. Not that deep, dog.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly.
not that deep, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh man. So, okay. So you made the switch to mm-hmm. law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now we gotta talk about it, because I'm thinking about it like this, bro. You had to go through basic training in the Army. You had to go through training to be a firefighter medic, mm-hmm. and then you had to go through a police academy.
Dude, if I had a nickel for every academy that I've been to,
man.
Yeah. So basic, which you like, we're at the same. So you went to Leonard Wood for basic,
the MP school. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, yep. So I went to, I've been to two fire academies, and I've been to, yeah, mandate, which the mandate that I went to, I actually was elected to be the like class leader or like class sergeant for my mandate class and at the academy that they sent me to. And it was funny, because even like while I was down there, cause I'm like, this is now like my third or fourth one that I've been to. I'm so over this. I'm just ready to just be like, just give me the training. It doesn't have to be so like, you know, gung ho, but cool. It is what it is. I understand. Like they have it for a reason. And I just remember they sent us, so it's like, hey, who wants to be a class sergeant? And enough people told me, they're like, you need to be it. So I was like, okay, cool. Like, sure. I'll raise my hand. I'll offer myself if you guys want to do it. And, so make my pitch, and my pitch for them to pick me was, I was like, hey, I've done one or two of these before. So I know a little bit about how this works. If we look great, congratulations, class, you guys did great. And if we look bad, then it's my fault. and I'll take the ribbing from supervision. And then they sent us out of the room, and the other instructors that were in the room, they were like, if you guys don't pick that dude, you guys are all jokers. Like, and so there was a lot of time spent behind a desk trying to learn how to be a student of whatever field I'm currently doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that's I could imagine the psychological stress of that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one that, like, I feel like after a while you kind of do get like a bit of like mental toughness, like with it, where it's kind of like, hey, like I'm going through it. Okay. I know how to get back in the game. Like whether it's EMT school, it's like, cool, I know how to study. Like I can be hands-on with like medicine. Medicine actually comes pretty easy to me. For policing and for like firefighting, it's like, okay, cool. Like I get this. I can go into like kind of that cave of being like, hey, like I'm a student right now. I need to learn now. And since I was in a leadership position, it was so funny because I think that I was such a pain to the instructors because, like, you know how it is when you're going through a mandate, it's like, hey, go stand by to stand by. Mm-hmm. So you're just waiting, and those minutes are just ticking by. Well, this is now like my fourth class that I've been to. So I would take, you know, my battle buddy with me, and we go up to the sergeant's desk, and I'd be like, hey, sir, we did the job you had for us. And he's like, okay, well, go organize the chairs and then go do this. And I was like, okay. So then we'd like run, go do that. And I come back, and he thinks he's like sending me away. I was like, hey, sir, so we did that. What do you want next? And I just kept badgering him until he'd be like, fine, go home. And I was like, sweet. So we'd like just try to get home in a normal time. Okay. Meanwhile, like the other classes are like staying late and stuff like that. And I was just like, okay, cool. There is a way to play and kind of like maximize like every game situation thing like you kind of like find yourself in. So where in the classes did get really like stressful at times, I would definitely say that there is a way to kind of really like make the most about it and really kind of like not just take care of yourself, because obviously like for me, I want to get home to my wife.
Right.
Like she's like, hey, go do your training. But she's like, please don't like dilly dally on the way home. Cause you know, I'm hoofing it all the way down there, spending all day every day. But also I want to take care of like the guys that I'm with. Cause a lot of those people, like everybody has kids, everybody has like, you know, other obligations outside of the job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, it just takes me back, man.
Right?
it takes me back, bro. Those days, man. Especially like in our police academy, I started in DeKalb County, most of the class had no type of experience. Mm-hmm. So there was a small group of us that were either prior military or have some other type of experience, and we kind of reined everyone in and kind of got them in line. And,
yeah,
and I think everyone's has been grateful for that, but I think it made it a lot easier than it could have been.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you have someone like with experience there, that's like, you know, whether you want to call it like mentoring or just kind of like just being like a buddy to you, because no matter what, like even, I mean, shoot, at my mandate class, we had this one, she was a female, and she was a drill sergeant in the military, and she worked with the NYPD, like, big resume. But we even, like, so there was her, and there was, like, a couple others, like, you know, very impressive resumes, like, much, much more decorated than stuff that I'll probably even ever end up doing, because they're just, like, out of state, they just got to get their certification for Georgia. But, like, you know, you see people, like, either start to get a little mad at each other or people, like, losing some of that professionalism, and you kind of, like, have to, like, rein them in and just be like, hey, man, like, same team. Like, we're all here. Like, this is hard. But, like, hey, we're going to get through this, and we're going to get through it together. So.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So I got to know.
Okay.
And I'm sure everybody wants to know, too. Do you have a favorite out of military, firefighter, or police? Which did you enjoy or did you enjoy the most? And I'll make it a little bit easier for you. If all conditions were ideal.
Okay. Which would I pick?
Which would you pick and which one would be last?
Dude, that's hard. It's kind of one of those that like I love each section of it so much for different reasons. Like, there, you cannot replace, there's something so cool on the ambulance about the fact that it was like, hey, there's a really bad car wreck. This like kid, who like, I can think of a few like off the top of my head. Like, I had like this little kid, Ashton, who it's like, he was in a really bad wreck and, like multiple like skull fractures and stuff like that. And I'm like, that kid is alive because of like the interventions I provided. So like the life-saving stuff about that is absolutely amazing. You can't take that away. And then like when you kind of like just like high five your buddy at like your partner after that, that's incredible.
Yeah.
About firefighting, it's like, you're living with those jokers. And so the closeness that you get with them and kind of like going in and like, going in and providing just that life saving, that property protection and stuff like that is also, it's so much fun. The military is, it's big and it's crazy, but it's such a blast because you get access to so many like cool toys, you know, It's like, we're going down to do some training at Fort Stewart. So it's like, hey, you're going to ride in a Chinook on the way down there. Why? Because you can. It's like, I'm literally in a helicopter right now. And you're with like your best friends while you're doing it. And policing, it's like, I've literally got to kick doors in. I've got to arrest bad guys. Like, you know, it's like, I've done like the stuff that, like, I feel like I've seen on TV, and all just experiences that I'm just like, I wish I could give just like a sample of that to everybody. So it's hard to pick. I think I would probably say policing. I have to give it to it because I'm doing it now.
Yeah.
Like, I think I would say policing, and then I'm very fond of my military days. So I'll say policing, then the military. I'll say EMS and fire together.
Yep.
But I think that would probably have to be the pecking order. I would very begrudgingly say that. So my firefighting buddies are gonna like, what did you say?
They'll get over it.
Yeah, right.
Oh man. Yeah, bro. But yeah, that's really cool. Like I said, dude, you're like literally like a unicorn, bro. Like, this is not many people.
It's
like you.
It's just a blessing, honestly. I've had a lot of really great opportunities. I've had a lot of really cool people pour into me at each side, and I've had a wife that's beyond supportive.
Yeah.
I don't think there's been a single idea that I've ever thrown out that she's been like, no. Especially if like we talk about it, she's awesome. I wouldn't be I wouldn't have a fraction of what I have today if she hadn't been in the picture.
100%, man. I can resonate with that also. I mean, my wife is very supportive, man. She's just like, I trust you.
Yeah.
She's like, you're the leader. Like, I trust you.
Yeah.
You haven't stirred me wrong.
Yeah.
And I know your intentions are always good. And, you know, and she's just like, how can I support you?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's even just something that I think when I got married, I was like, oh, no, like there is like that level of support and everything else from somebody else. Cause growing up, it's like, you know, you kind of have your parents kind of like, hey, maybe like you play basketball. And it's like, no, like we're not doing soccer cause you're playing basketball. Like that's your thing. Meanwhile, it's like when you get married, they're kind of like, cool. Like, no, this is an adventure. Like, let's go. Yeah. So they gas you up, you gas them up, and it's been a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's something powerful when people work together. Mm-hmm. Especially couples,
yeah,
and build something, mm-hmm. and make something happen. I mean, my wife, before she became my wife, dude, we were just like really good friends, but you know, she came to work with me and my company, and mm-hmm. she helped me take my company to like like a really good level. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like we built a big business together, bro. And I'm super grateful for that.
Yeah.
You know, because that just reminds me of just saying, if you want to go fast, go by yourself, but you want to go far, go with others.
100%.
You know?
Yeah.
And that just makes me think of the military too. Like you were saying, like, you know, just flying in the Chinook with your buddies, man, the camaraderie that you get in that atmosphere, man, it's unlike no other.
No.
Even like in the police or the law enforcement, it's just a different type of camaraderie, right?
Yeah.
You know, so... And I know that you mentioned before that, you know, you you're certified to do like peer-to-peer
yeah.
type stuff, man. Can you tell us about that?
So when I was still firefighting at the last agency that I was firefighting with before I switched to policing, they just put out there like, hey, does anybody want to go to a peer-to-peer support specialist class? And at the time, I had a really good friend on the fire side who was at a different agency, but he had made the unfortunate decision to take his life. And I love that dude like a brother. There's not a day that goes by that I don't think about him, don't miss him.
Yeah.
And so I felt a huge conviction to kind of get into that. And so we went, and it was a couple day course, and it was, they kind of teach you a lot about the counseling side of things, how to like, hey, like this is like what you're supposed to listen to. Like this is how you listen. This is how you respond. And you kind of think going into it, you're like, I know how to talk to people. Like, it's a conversation. But I think to really kind of like empathize, kind of like get on their level, like it is much deeper than that. And I've tried to take lessons from that, from like that class, and then putting it into practice, not just with like friends that are struggling or people that like, you know, it's like, hey, you're my boy, you're having a down day, what's up? But also like we're running calls on people that they're having the worst day of their life. Like how can we actually talk to them so you do feel heard, you do feel understood, we can kind of like connect you with what you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very powerful statement that you just made. Like, they're having the worst day of their lives.
Yeah.
Right. And that's one thing that I try to take with me too, is like, hey, you know what? It may not be real to us, but if it's real to them, it's real.
Yeah. Well, you know, man, like everybody's been through different stuff. And, some of like my family or extended family, maybe they've had like issues with like anxiety or something like that. Or maybe, yeah. You know, it's like, hey, my neighbor is just, he's just an older guy. He's just having a tough time. But yeah. Whatever they're going through, like that's their journey. That's their struggle. And if you can't take a moment to kind of like get out of whatever box like you're in, you're doing, like, you know, hey, like you're a very successful businessman. Like you're kind of like, you have a lot of balls in the air. I'm sure yeah. There's stuff that you're dealing with that would crush me. But at the same time, like whatever I have going on, that's like, hey, like maybe it's like, hey, like my wife and I, we have this going on. Hey, like this happened with a friend of mine. Like, hey, this kid that's in high school, it's just like, he's just seeing that his friends put up something on social media about him. And it's like, all in all, that might be like very minuscule, but that is like devastating to each individual person. And I don't want to be that guy that's like kind of like, hey, like, you know, get your head out of the sand, like, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, like let's get over it. Like let's actually like have a second to talk about it.
Yeah. Wow. Man, I didn't realize you were so deep, bro. All I see, I mean, I know you're like a cool guy and everything, and I always just see the muscles, man. I love that you got the bronze and the brains.
Well, you know, we're not really getting into all of the dirty jokes and profanity that we normally do on the day to day basis.
Oh my gosh.
No, man, it's one that I think at times I have tried over the years, and it's something that I think honestly like age and marriage has taught me too, because like my wife has definitely done a lot to help make me a better person. Where I think a lot of the times public safety, and I will say people, guys in general, like you do kind of like, you want to have like your front, you want to be taken seriously, like you want to be tough and everything else.
Yeah.
But, I also know that like every single person that I talk to, it's like, hey, they have some sort of like struggle going on. Like
100%, bro.
And so, and I've told some of my family at times, like people that I thought were the toughest, like smartest people I know, I'm like, hey, like, when they do have like that moment of vulnerability, I'm such a turd if I shun you for having that. Like, and we're going to destroy the relationship if I do that. But it's like, hey, whatever's going on, it's like, hey, storms are coming, but you decide if the ship sinks. So, but it's like, hey, like, but you're not alone in any of this. It's like, hey, like I may not be like captaining the ship, but like, hey, like I'm here with you through it. And I think when you isolate people, or like when you kind of like want to do, when you either like you want to make that joke, you want to kind of take it that way, is when you do push people away, and you do kind of like they stop sharing, they stop wanting to open up, they stop wanting to like solve the problem. And I don't know, that's over. I think time has like kind of been, time has kind of taught me like, hey, let's lessen the front. Like, nobody cares what my bench is. Nobody cares what I shot at the last qual, as long as I passed. It's like, hey, I'm much more relatable if I tell you, it's like, hey man, yeah. Like the pirate that's on the back of my head is actually from a cartoon that I watch. It's not a Pittsburgh pirate. It's something different. Like, that makes me relatable, because it's like, oh, this dude likes that show. Like, yeah. I think trying to take down some of those fronts and everything else, it's like, we can talk about cool muscle stuff and everything else, but I think it's much more important to try to find like a ways to actually relate with people.
Yeah, 100%. Relationships, I would say, are the highest form of currency.
100%.
You know what I mean? For me, it's one of the most important aspects of anything, is because people, they may never remember what you say to them. Mm-hmm. Or even what you did, but they'll always remember how you made them feel and how they experienced you.
Yeah.
So I'm a huge proponent on, you know, giving people a great experience, and showing them that they matter, because they do.
Yeah.
You know, I believe that, you know, we were put on this earth to love God and love people.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Two reasons right there.
Yep.
And I love people.
Yeah. yeah, me too, man. Trust me, everybody at the agency, it was funny, because when you came to the department, you were doing like FTO and stuff like that, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's Reggie. And then I kind of like told people like, oh yeah, like, yeah, I was in the military with that guy. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. And not 2 weeks later, it's like people that I never see at work, they're like, oh, like, so I was talking to Reggie. And I'm like, how do you... No, I know Reggie. You guys don't know Reggie. And it like took all of like 2 weeks for you to be like loved by everybody at the agency.
Oh man. You know, I just I don't know, man. I love people, and I have a heart for people.
Yeah.
And you do too. And that doesn't mean that I always want to be around people.
100%.
Because like you said, like, you know, I just feel like being kind of vulnerable and transparent, man, like, sometimes I struggle, dude, with like PTSD. Mm-hmm. I struggle with being around people, and I, you know, distance myself and things like that, man. I'm a human.
Yeah.
Right. And I feel like if you're always doing something like filling other people's cup and you're not filling your own cup, then you run dry.
Yeah. Well then that goes into like, hey, what is your support system?
Yeah.
You know, For years, I always said like, hey, I've got a Bible and a gym membership. Like, I'll figure out a way to make it. But but I also like, I remember it makes me tear up like thinking about it. But like, there was, we had a call. This is an EMS go totally sideways. Three people were like flown out from this, just a super bad car wreck. Oof. And like, I can like, you know, I can hear the dad like screaming when he saw what happened to his kids. And I just remember like, I'm bottling this up because I'm like, oh, hey, like, I can handle this. Like, I got this. And I'm still trying to like, you know, handle business. And one night, my wife, I guess she just asked me the right way. She was like, hey, like, what's up? And so I told her, and, the response that she gave me was, she was like, hey, I'm not sorry that this happened to you. Like, I'm really sorry that you're feeling this way. Mm. But I know that out of anyone that could have been there, you were one of the best people for them. So she's like, I know that, because she knows that I train, she knows that I work hard. She's like, I know you signed up for this. I know that it's not easy right now, but I'm so glad that you could have been the person for that family. And to me, that was like one of those like really just profound statements, because I'm like, how, everybody always thinks like you don't want to tell your family like what's going on. And yeah. My wife is one of the most understanding, empathetic, ride or die people out there. And every time I start to doubt it, she immediately proves me why she is. And I think that with, like, when she told me that, I was like, oh my gosh, like, how do you, like, not baby somebody? Because, you know, you have a tough job. You still want to be the tough guy, but you take a moment to, like, kind of acknowledge it. It's like, you know what? Yeah. Like, that was awful. Like, that was so awful. But, like, I'm not alone in the way that I feel. And my wife wasn't there. And she told me, she's like, I wasn't there. She's like, there's no trauma in this for me. She's like, this is trauma for you. And she's like, I'm so sorry that that happened to them. But, like, but I'm so thankful that there was somebody like you there. Yeah. And I think that having like that support system, having those people around you where it's like, hey, yeah, sometimes like I'll be a meathead and I'm going to go into the garage and I'm going to slam weights around and like blast angry music, you know, maybe a little bit longer than I should. And my wife knows that maybe I've had a tough day, but there's also times where it's like, hey, like I do have the support system of either, be partners, friends, mentors. I still talk to the first medic that I ever had in the fire department. One of the greatest dudes I know, we all call him Mama.
Mama.
So, yeah, shout out to Mama.
Shout out to Mama. Mama.
Yeah, it's a guy too.
I know. That's what makes it even more awesome.
It's so great. But just having like the support like from those people is like what makes it to where you can keep doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, man. I think it's definitely important to have a strong support system for sure, man.
Yeah.
You know, and I love how she worded it. There was no trauma in it for me.
Yeah.
Like how she just acknowledged that. And man, that's just that was beautiful, man.
Oh yeah, she's smart. You should have had her on this instead of me.
Bro, we could probably make it happen, yeah, dude. Yeah,
right. I'll text her. We'll just get her in the door right after me, right?
Yeah, man. Like,
right.
No. But yeah, man. That's beautiful. I love that. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that don't have that kind of support. A lot of people who are serving, who, you know, their marriage or their relationships are in turmoil because the person just is not understanding, or the person just, they can't connect with that part of their life.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's whether sometimes it's like, oh, hey, like the ego's still there, whether sometimes like, hey, you don't want to open up, or unfortunately it's like, hey, maybe you still have some of those vices that you're just not wanting to let go of. Like whether that's a bottle, whether that's, you know, booze, tobacco, prescription drugs, whether that's like, you know, those websites that you shouldn't go to.
Yeah.
Like there's, I wish so bad that like my buddy who, is no longer with us, Sean, he was a big time drinker. And I remember just like after he had passed away, like I sent like same thing my wife said, like his widow said, 'cause I just reached out to her and I was like, hey, like I'm like, are you okay? Like if there's anything I can do, like, please like, let me know. And I was like, how are you feeling? And, you know, and at one point she told me, she's like, I wish he would have shared, because she's like, I wasn't there. And that's one of my boys. Like he was a medic in the Army. He deployed with like an SF team. Like, so he had seen, like, done some stuff, and like, it's staying with him. And I was like, I thought, you know, thought things were good. Thought like, you know, maybe he had his like struggle or two, but having that support system and like being open and willing to do it. If I could tell anybody, it's like, hey, the toughest dudes I know, like not all of them are your like, you know, your SWAT team guys, your Delta guys, your stuff like that. Those people, like, yes, won't take anything away from them. They are tough. But if you can, like, I still think that it is just as difficult. You are still just as tough if you're kind of like, hey, I had this experience. It's kicking my butt, like whether it's, and however it's like hanging on to you, because I'll talk to you all night. Like if you're struggling, like I'll sit here and talk to you till 3 a.m. and go to shift immediately after. That's what caffeine's for. But like, but anything to make sure that like, hey, my boy is still here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I've had I've lost some, you know, some close people in the military as well that took their own lives and things like that. And, you know, I think that there's a stigma with being vulnerable.
100%.
You know, and because we're kind of bred to, embrace the suck.
Mm-hmm. Put it in a
Charlie
box.
Mike, bro, you know what I mean? Yeah. Just get over it, move through it, push through it, and we bottle it up. And we're just like, oh, if I talk about this, then that's going to make me seem weak and people are going to lose respect for me. And like I said, you know, I've had those days, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I've had those days where I just lock stuff up, man, and just and talk to anybody.
Yeah.
But, you know, nobody, if nobody knows, they can't be, they can't fix it or they can't support you.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and you having kind of like kind of that bad day, like you having that day that like, hey, mentally you're in the trenches, you're in that dark place. The certain thoughts that you might have, like, that doesn't mean you're going to do it. That doesn't make you bad for thinking that stuff.
Yeah.
And like, I love the movie Act of Valor, but there's only so much that it's like, hey, we are men of boxes. You know, I wish I could talk to more people that were just like that, of like, hey, like I've been through this. And 9 times out of 10, if you talk to somebody that has had some sort of trauma that's like similar to like what you're saying, like whether it be through the military or through policing, there's probably somebody else like shares something similar.
Yeah.
And it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. It's all get out to sit there and say like, hey, I've had these dark thoughts, or hey, like I've had this struggle. But to know that like you're not alone in that, or to know that like, hey, there's somebody else that can help me with it, or just listen, you know?
Yeah.
Like there's so much more power in that.
Yeah. And there's so many resources out there for veterans, you know, just in general and first responders.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of resources out there if you need to talk to someone, particularly veterans. And I think that the VA is trying to step up and, you know, bring the awareness more and more and more. But there's a lot of people who just like haven't heard the information.
I think even outside of the VA, dude, like there's like just with public safety and with the military, with public safety, whether it's organizations like Warrior's Heart for veterans, they do so much work. There's Next Rung for the fire department. I do know a few firemen that have made the unfortunate decision that they've taken their own life. And like Next Rung was big about sending stuff out to be like, hey, we're putting out like, we have like these classes, we have these like get togethers we can do. And I will say that, like even there's no shame in going to, is like, hey, it doesn't have to be, if you go to a therapy appointment or if you go to a couple therapy appointments, it doesn't have to necessarily be with like, oh, this former Navy SEAL turned into psychologist. Like you don't have to go see that guy. I guarantee you
that
the therapist that's at the corner by Zaxby's, I guarantee you he can help you. Like, I guarantee you, like, you know, your uncle who, like, maybe he just doesn't talk too much, or maybe, like, you know, your pastor or something like that. But it's like, but having that moment of, like, maybe I can set my ego to the side just a little bit. Like, give me 5 minutes of you just kind of, like, being honest with me about where you're at. And every time that I've done that, it's paid dividends.
Yeah.
You know? And with whether it be talking to supervisors, whether that be in talking to mentors, to chaplains, you know, our chaplain, I call him Rev.
Rev. Yeah.
Every time we go to jujitsu, cause dude's awesome. But my wife too, because she's 1,000 times smarter than I am. But like having that moment where you do open up, it's never going to be bad for you.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I resonate with that 100%. Because when you don't share, it's like you create a prison for yourself.
Yeah.
And it's harder to get out
mm-hmm.
the longer you hold it in.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, man, that's bro, like, let me find out, man. My man is like a philosopher over here.
Not at all. Not at all.
You know what I mean? Like, just dropping nuggets, bro. These reels is about to be popping, dog.
It's going to be nothing but reels of me saying like and 100% over and over again.
And that's what caffeine is for.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man, you've been killing it, bro. So let's shift real quick. So I know you're really into fitness, bro. Mm-hmm. I see you posting the reels and stuff like that, mm-hmm. man. You've been very consistent, you know, working out in the gym and things like that, man. Talk to us about, I guess, your motivation behind that.
That's meditation for me. Okay. That's fun. The weight room more than anywhere else in my life has been such a constant in times where, even my own parents were like, hey, cause life gets busy. You know, if stresses happen, whatever, but like when mom or dad were busy, I had like a weight room I could go to, when bad day at work, weight room I can go to. For me, like that's been where I have hit PRs and processed life and had every emotion from like dealing with a breakup to getting a job in the weight room. And I'm not the strongest dude out there. My powerlifting numbers are very not impressive. I love weightlifting. And yep. I'll kind of be like that person, like, you know, chases every carrot where it's like, I'll do CrossFit for 6 weeks and then I'll do bodybuilding for 6 weeks. But I think for me, the biggest motivation is it is a craft that I think it takes care of me and those around me. And it's a consistent test where it's like, hey, I can take it easy today. And you know, either like chill or even do like a light workout, like just something to kind of like maintain what I've been doing. Or it's like, hey, like, can I kind of like lower my head, get in a zone and try to improve myself by just a little bit.
Yeah.
And, it's like, it's self-improvement and it is like, hey, I want to be the best me for myself and for those around me, because I gotta be strong and kind of like, I gotta be strong, be able to perform in these different ways. One, so I can take care of my family, so I can do my job, because I hold that standard for myself. And yeah, and it's also
meditation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of meditation.
I like that, man. You know, I could definitely get back in the gym.
Hey, you can come over. I got the squat rack in the garage.
I'm saying, man, you know,
you done got too strong. You had to take some time off.
That's what it is. Yep. You know, look at the guns, bro.
Yeah. The old guns of Navarone over there.
You know what I'm saying, man? Yeah. Got this 50 cal popping off right there man. Go.
Is that the next tattoo? Is that a 50 cal?
The 50 cal, bro. Which is, yeah. But yeah, bro. So with that, man, do you have any intentions on maybe getting to any like fitness coaching, influencing, anything like that?
So I have a TikTok. I have a social media page. TikTok has been mainly like where I've kind of put anything that's kind of like what I would say like influencing or like coaching related. I've worked as a personal trainer in the past. For me now, it's like, hey, like I put like short video of like, hey, this was my workout today. This is kind of like the programming that I'm following. It has some degree of like functionality. It has some degree of like bodybuilding and has some degree of like strength training in it. So it's like, hey, at the very least, it's like hopefully, and then I'll sprinkle in like some sort of like positive message there, where whether that be like, hey, like here's a Bible verse, here's just like a little bit of encouragement, or here's my two dogs doing something goofy. I kind of like put stuff up there with maybe like a little bit of like education in there too, where it's like, hey, like when you're benching, like try to keep your elbows in, because if you go out, like what you can do to your shoulder. There's like maybe like little bits of stuff here and there, but I would say that's about the only platform that I do stuff on that's kind of that way. And that's mainly just to kind of like, hey, like here's free programming, like take it or don't. Like,
yeah.
Just to kind of just get something going, because I've talked enough with people in the past. There's been times that at my agency, whether it be the military or wherever, people are like, hey, like I want to lose weight. I want to go to this school. I want to like, you know, trying to like get big, do whatever, where it's like, hey, like I can put together a program for you. And it's like, cool. Like I've done that a little bit in the past, but now it's, I'd say it's like the LaCroix of influencing is what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, man. That's cool, bro. Yeah, I could definitely see that, man. I could definitely see me, you know, scrolling on TikTok and then seeing Duke to Hazard over here, like, you know, putting out the fitness videos.
Yeah. It's fun. Now it's more of just a hobby right now than anything else.
That's super cool. But yeah. I think what's really cool is that you said it's like it's meditation for you.
Yeah.
And it's a way to keep you accountable for you to honor a commitment that you made to yourself, right? And upkeeping yourself for yourself, but for the other people that you care about. And so that's very commendable, bro.
Well, and at the time, and at different, the gym can mean different things at different times, or fitness can mean different things at different times. Sometimes it's like, hey, like this is a social hour and like, you know, you're going to hang out with your buddies and just happen to do something active. Other times it's like you do go into, it's like, hey, like I had a bad day. I got to get it out somehow. Yeah. And then sometimes, you know, you're trying to meet a goal. I think whatever you're doing or wherever you're going through in life, some sort of fitness in any way, shape or form is so critical to not just your physical health, but like your mental and emotional health as well.
Yeah, man. Thanks for sharing that, bro.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? So it looks like we're, you know, kind of coming up on time, but, before we let you go, I got to ask you a question.
Okay. Oh gosh.
What might people be surprised to know about you?
What might people be surprised to know about me?
I love this silence.
Right? probably that I'm like 31 and I still watch way more cartoons than I should. I'm still buying comic books and going to like nerd conventions because I can.
Hey, man. Hey, I didn't know that for sure.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you like into anime and stuff like that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think in the last year I've gone to, there's like this thing like Collecticon, and like my little brother went with me once, and then my wife went me to the next one. And both times we met like some of like our favorite voice actors, and we were so stoked because we grew up watching these people that like we both are just like in tears, like meeting. We're like, oh my gosh, it's so cool. Like,
dude, the dude, did you watch Dragon Ball Z? Mm-hmm. The dude that plays Goku, mm-hmm. like his voice, he's going to be in town soon.
I've met him actually.
Really?
Yes.
I'm kind of jealous.
Yeah. So I met the voice of Naruto.
Nice.
And then the same guy that does Yugi in the show Yugi.
Yes, yes.
So he also does Mewtwo. He does Knuckles, not in the movie, but in like the cartoon series. It's like named Dan Green. And then this guy, Eric Stewart, who plays like, he's Kaiba in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Show too, and like a couple others. But yeah, there's been multiple voice actors that I've been very, very excited to meet. Probably much more stoked than you'd think. Some
Yu-Gi-Oh! Dude, take me back. Oh man, bro, dog, taking me back, man. Thanks for sharing. Before I let you go, bro, I have something for you.
Okay.
So what I have for you is a custom minted Call to Serve
so cool.
podcast challenge coin. You know what I mean? And what that is for, man, it's just what I would love for it to be is a reminder of why you serve, man.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Why you do it every day. Why you serve, you know, the citizens, you know, where you work at. Why you serve your family. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I just want that to be a reminder. Also, we got you a...
I got the sticker.
Got the sticker, oh, bro.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
You got the sticker, man. So, yeah. And on the back, it says our slogan, serving those who serve others.
I like that.
You know what I mean? That's really cool. What we're about, bro. You know, just we want to honor you tonight just for your life of service, man. 31 years old, and you've already done so many marvelous and spectacular things, and you just got a whole, you know, who knows what you're going to be up to in the next 5 years, man. My man might be a freaking in the Space Force or something. I don't know. Like, you know, like.
Yeah, Space Ranger.
Yeah, bro, yeah.
Straight Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah. But I know, whatever it is, man, like, You're going to give it your all, and you're gonna be the best that you can be at it.
I'm sure wherever we've crossed paths so many times, I'm sure wherever I end up, I'll see you in the hallway there. So
yeah, bro, or the space station.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, bro. So we'll definitely keep up with you, man. And who knows, man? We definitely might have you back on a future episode just to catch up and see what you got going on.
Absolutely, anytime.
Yeah, man.
It's been awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, man. Thank you, brother. Till next time.
Yes, sir.